All right. I think when I saw that video for the first time, it was a powerful reminder. Maybe it's because I'm getting older that our lives are really marked by these defining moments. And it's really about how we choose to live out our lives. And so when I saw that video, I was wondering if that was me, I guess lying there on my deathbed, what are some of the thoughts that I would be going through? Like, what are some of those defining moments in my life that I would remember? Because it's really about the decisions that we make for ourselves today that will determine where we will be tomorrow, where we will need to be tomorrow. And so that's why we want to start this new series called Last Words and really look into the last words that Jesus gives to his disciples, the last prayers that he really lifts up for them. And the reason why we want to do this is because, at least for the students, you guys only have 2 weeks left now. Or maybe 2 weeks, right? Yeah, before finals, and some of you will be going home and so forth. And even for us, those of us who are working, you know, we're transitioning into a new season now of summer. And so there's going to be different things that are coming up. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking with all that God has been able to do through our lives throughout this year, all the blessings that he's poured into our lives, everything that he has taught us, everything that he has invested into our lives, that it's so easy for us to ruin those things by making just few yet simple wrong choices throughout the summer. And this is what we see happen all the time in the lives of especially students. That you go home and you make some wrong decisions, and that kind of sets a pattern for the rest of the summer. And so it's really easy to undo those blessings. And so I want to give you some last words of encouragement before some of us leave for home. I want to give you some last words of encouragement for those of us who are working as we enter into another season of life. You know, I'm always haunted by the story that I heard from Dr. John Piper. And this is, I think, one of my, not maybe favorite stories, but really one of my stories that I always look back to that really challenges me a lot, especially when I transition into new seasons and so forth. And he tells a story about his father, who was a pastor, that he was pastoring this church. He was an evangelist. And there was this old gentleman that used to come to his church in and out. And so he's been doing this for a while, and no one ever thought that he would ever change until one evening they were having an evening service. And he was preaching the gospel. And something happened in this gentleman's heart where God began to move. So he actually responded, and he came up to receive prayer. And when he came up, everyone was so amazed. And so he took Dr. Piper's father's hand. They went on their knees, and he prayed the sinner's prayer, I guess, to receive Christ into his life as Lord and Savior. So when everyone saw that, they were so filled with gladness in their hearts. Yet this old man refused to get up from his knees, and he began to cry and pray. And the thing that he kept on saying over and over again is simply that I've wasted it and I've wasted it. And the first time I heard Dr. Piper tell this story, something about it just really began to haunt my heart. That here's this man who was able to experience the joy of salvation, yet realizing the first 60 or however long that he was, you know, he's been able to live, that he's wasted all those years. And I don't want that happening to any of us. That we receive the blessings of God and we go into the summer, and by the end of the summer, we realize that we've wasted another opportunity that God has given us. And so the charge that I want to give us today, and so what we're going to do is, for the next 3 weeks, we're just going to give you some simple charges or challenges for you to really think about, not only in terms of how to end the semester well, but just even going into the summer. And the first charge that we want to give you today is simply this: to glorify Jesus in all that you do. And make the glory of Jesus your single passion for this summer. It's simply to glorify Jesus in all that you do, and to make the glory of Jesus your single passion. Not getting rest, not sleeping in, not that trip that you're looking forward to, not connecting with your friends, maybe that internship that's waiting for you, maybe that new job, maybe going back home, not any of these things, but really glorifying Jesus and making that our single passion and our single purpose over the summer. So with that in mind, if you could turn with me to the book of John. We're going to be looking at the very last prayer that Jesus lifts up, which is John chapter 17. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 5. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. Okay? All right, this is the word of God. It says, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. You know, Jesus is headed towards the cross. And so he spends his last few moments of his life speaking to the Father. And so the very words that he's lifting up, I mean, these are the things that are really dear and near to his heart. Like, this is his passion. And so what he's doing is he's expressing his heart. He's expressing his passion. And the first thing that we notice is that his single passion is for what? Is for the glory of God. Where he says, glorify me so that you may be glorified through me. And now, there's a lot actually in this passage. A lot of theological implications. Because what this is telling us is that ultimately that Jesus is God. That Jesus is not just a prophet, he's not just a teacher, he's not just this guru that we turn to in times of need, but he's actually God who receives and deserves our glory. And not only is Jesus God, but we see the Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, and even God the Holy Spirit. But the thing that I notice the most is that Jesus' greatest passion, that his greatest desire is to what? Is to bring glory to God. I mean, just think about your last moments of life. Because you know that you are about to, you're going to pass away soon. Like, what would be on your heart that you would express to the people around you? You know, I haven't been too many times at the bedside of those who are about to pass, but I've had a couple of opportunities where I was there to minister not only to them, but to their families and so forth. And so usually what they express is they express their love for the loved ones, for their family members, to let them know one more time how much they love them and how much they mean to them. And so when you look into this, it's not just words that Jesus is lifting up, but you have to feel the weight of these words, that this is the passion of Jesus' heart, that it is for God's glory. And yes, of course, Jesus went to the cross because he loves us, he died for our sins and so forth, but ultimately, Jesus went to the cross to demonstrate what? The glory of God. And that's why before he prays for his disciples, that's why before he prays for those who have yet to be saved, the thing that he prays for first, the thing that is utmost, the number one priority in his heart is for God's glory. And so that's what I want to communicate, and that's what I want to challenge all of you with. As you head into the summer, as you finish off the semester, don't get boggled down by the things of life, but think bigger. Dream grander. And realize the greatest passion that God has entrusted with you is for his glory. And so Jesus is challenging us today not to live for ourselves, but to live for the glory of God. And so how do we do that? Two simple things. First of all, we glorify Jesus by living under his authority and his power over our lives. We glorify Jesus by living under his authority and his power over our lives. He says, Father, the time has come. Glorify your son that your son may be glorified. That your son may glorify you, for you granted him authority over all people that he might give them eternal life to all those who have given him. All those you have given him. That Jesus has authority over our lives. And I think it's really important for us to remember that Jesus is not just one of the options of the many that we have before us, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, that every single day that we wake up, that we need to realize that in our lives, we don't have any other options except who Jesus is. That's what it means for us to live for the glory of God. That we don't have any other choices. That we don't have any options. That we're not leaving any other doors open. Except every single day we are being consumed by the glory of God. The word authority there simply means it's the right to control or to govern. So Jesus has the right to control or to govern over our lives. Regardless of whether you like it or not, Jesus has authority. And sometimes that means that he exercises his authority against our will, because even though it might go against our will, that ultimately that is what is best for us. This happens all the time in my relationship with my kids. They want something, but I don't give it to them. Why? Because I have the authority of not giving it to them. And it goes against every fiber of their being, of wanting that thing, but I know that it is not good for them. And sometimes it's really hard for us to live under the authority of Jesus and to recognize his power, because it's really hard to trust in him. I don't know how many times I've had conversation with people over and over again expressing, Pastor Ben, I'm going through the season of life and it's really hard for me to trust in Jesus, because I've trusted him in the past. And I've expected certain things from him, but he never came through. That I was disappointed in the past. And so when I have this opportunity once again to submit my life under his authority and his rule, that it's really hard for me to trust in him. And when you think about it, the authority that Jesus has isn't to grant us our dreams. It's not to grant us the very things that we want the most. That's not the authority that Jesus has. So when we go to Jesus and when we're asking certain things, if he decides not to grant us those things, it's not because he doesn't have the authority, but it's because that's not why he came. I think ultimately, what that really shows us is that we are not able to trust in Jesus because Jesus is one of the many options. And see, if we can't go through Jesus to get that ultimate thing that we are desiring, then what we're saying is that we're not going to trust in Jesus, but we're going to trust in another means to ultimately get that thing that we are desiring, whatever that thing might be. Whatever it is that we're really wanting to get out of our lives. And what we need to realize is that Jesus never came to grant us the desires of our hearts. But Jesus came to save us. And that's the authority that he has. That he came to save us, what? From our sin. Many of us would recognize that. When we think about the cross, yes, it's about our sin. Every time that you messed up, yes, that's sinning against the Lord. All the bad thoughts that you had yesterday, yes, that is sinning against the Lord. And we recognize, yes, there's sin in our lives, so Jesus came to rescue us from sin. But what we also need to understand is that Jesus came to save us from ourselves. And not many of us recognizes this. That Jesus came not only to save us from our sin, but Jesus came to save us from ourselves. Because when you think about the times that you mess up, when you think about the bad decisions that you make, because I was thinking about this in my life, like who is the most influential person in my life that causes me to mess up over and over again? I mean, I guess I could blame it on my wife. She's giving me a dirty look. Don't you dare. But I know that that wouldn't be true. The single most influential person that causes me to go against the things of God, it's me. And that's why we need to be saved from ourselves. And so when Jesus comes, he comes to rescue us not only from our sins, but ultimately from ourselves. So I want to encourage all of us, as we think about the upcoming months, live for the glory of God and realize that Jesus has power and authority over our lives. And I'm not just talking about, okay, the big decisions that we need to make in our lives. But unless Jesus has power and authority in the small decisions in your lives, there's no way that you're going to be able to submit the bigger decisions that you will need to make for your life. And so I'm not talking about anything crazy like, okay, this summer I'm going to sell all my possessions and donate it to the children of, I don't know, Honduras, because we just went there. But I'm talking about, okay, even though I'm just taking summer classes, maybe one class, and class starts at 12, and my parents are gone to work by 8, and it's so easy for me to wake up at 11:30 to go to class, Jesus is calling me to wake up early to spend time with him. And I'm going to be submitted under that authority. That Jesus is asking me to invest my summer into praying to him. And I'm going to be submitted under his authority. It starts from the little things. But when he prompts you to do something, what he expects is that the thing that he lays in your heart will not just be another option of many choices. Where do I eat today? Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King? Or maybe I'm feeling a little bit bad about myself, so I'm going to go to Subway. He's not an option. So glorify Jesus by submitting your lives under his authority and power. But not only that, I'm going to close with this. Simply glorify Jesus by trusting in his works. By trusting in his works. John continues the prayer that Jesus lifts up, and he says this, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And so what Jesus states is that he is going to bring glory to God. How? By finishing the work, which is what? By going to the cross. And so when you think about it, I mean, it's really a gruesome picture. That this execution that's about to take place, that somehow through this gruesome work, that Jesus is going to bring glory to God. But ultimately, what Jesus is demonstrating is that his work that God is calling him to engage in is work, is the work of obedience. And so it's through his obedience that God is going to be glorified through Jesus. And what he's saying is that this last step of obedience that I take by going to the cross, I am completing the work that you have given me. And what is that work? What does his death accomplish? Well, it's the very thing that Jesus uttered at the beginning of his ministry when he said what? I have come to bring freedom into the lives of my people. So I want to encourage all of us to glorify Jesus by trusting in his work, of what he has done for you. Now at this point, you might say, Pastor Ben, I already know this. Yes, I already know that Jesus died for me on the cross and that he saved me. But practically speaking, I would say many of us, even though we know it, we don't live this out. Because every single day we are engaged in doing things, trying to accomplish things, and ultimately what that shows us is that we are trusting in our own works of somehow trying to save ourselves, of trying to create meaning and purpose and all these things that only God can bring into our hearts. Fulfillment, joy, satisfaction. And my thought is that if Jesus loved us enough to go to the cross to die for our sins, then surely he would love us enough to come into our lives every single day to lead us so that we are no longer trusting in our own works to save ourselves. But he begins to guide us in his path. He begins to show us his truth. And we begin to trust in him. And what we need to realize is that what Jesus has done for us is enough. Just think about everything that's going on in your life right now. Maybe it's a lot of things, maybe it's not so much. But trusting in his work means that we understand that what Jesus has done for us is enough. Therefore, what that means is that ultimately Jesus himself is enough. And so that even if we face disappointments, even if we face failures, even if we face situations when we don't feel necessarily like God is coming through for us, that we can be okay, that we can be content. Because we know that it's not about getting the things that we want in our hearts, but it's about ultimately being able to trust in God and coming to that point in our lives where we're able to say that Jesus is more than enough. And so we begin to demonstrate our trust in God simply by what? Just growing in our relationship. The thing that should really impact us through this verse is that first word that he utters from his mouth, which is simply Father. And so from the relationship that Jesus has with the Father flows Jesus living out his commands. And that's how we begin to trust in his works, that we grow deeper in our relationship. And as we go deeper in our relationship, we begin to live out his commands. All right? Simple stuff. And it's so simple that I know that you're going to understand. I mean, I was thinking about this. Like, if you were to leave, right? I know that some of you are graduating and hopefully we'll see you in the future, but if we don't, then see you in heaven. And hopefully we can praise God together for the great things that you were able to do through your lives. You can tell I'm not too sentimental, right? So, but I love you guys. Don't get me wrong. I love you guys. But if we don't see each other, then that's okay. But I was thinking, okay, like what is that one thing that I would really want to challenge you with so that you can carry this with you no matter where you go? And that one thing would simply be to glorify Jesus in all that you do. To glorify Jesus in all that you do. And make the glory of Jesus your single pursuit and your singular passion. I want to close with this. C.T. Studd, he's a famous missionary. We've talked about him before. Quite a poet too, but he wrote this poetry. And I want to close with what he wrote. Simply says this. He says, two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life will soon pass, but only what's done for Christ will last. So just think back to that short film that we just saw. And imagine yourself lying on that bed, surrounded by your loved ones, and thinking through these significant moments of your life. I'm sure you'll remember things like graduating from high school, maybe your first kiss, that first time that you grabbed that girl or that guy's hand, college graduation, getting married, having kids, seeing your kids go to college. I'm sure our lives will be filled with wonderful memories and moments. But I'm wondering what's really going to stand out in our lives. I'm wondering, as you are about to head into eternity to meet your Maker, what's really going to stand out? And I'm wondering if those defining moments that we will see will be the things that we were able to do for God and His glory. That when everything is said and done, that we can have peace in our hearts as we close our eyes, to say that I have lived my life for the glory of God. You know, I was thinking about this. Because it's one of these things where I can tell you to live for the glory of God, but I can't do it for you. And I was trying to like inspire myself, okay, how do I do this in a way where I'm trying to like inspire our members to live for the glory of God? So I started watching YouTube films to get myself psyched up for the sermon, right? And I came across, have you guys ever seen Any Given Sunday? It's a really bad movie about this like fake football league. You guys are like, no, I've never. If you haven't seen it, then, well, don't watch the whole movie, but maybe you can go on YouTube and there's a moment where Al Pacino plays this football coach and he's addressing his football players. And you know, he has that, Al Pacino, he has that voice that he does, right? And he's describing his life, and he's describing this football game, and he says, I can't do this for you, or something like that. And he's describing how football, as in life, it's a game of inches. And he's doing this thing, if you guys remember watching the movie, and he's describing how the inches are everywhere around us. And you have to fight for those inches, right? Because at the end of the game, all the inches that you tally up, that will determine whether you will win or whether you will die. He doesn't say lose. He says die. And I was thinking about that, and something about Al Pacino, every time I mean, he's just a very inspiring man. Not because he's a great man, but something about his voice is just like, But I was just thinking about that. If the football game and if life is about inches, then what I would say is that the Christian life is about the defining moments. It's about the small steps that we take. Because we are seeing the end, which is glory of God. And every single day, it's not the big decisions, but it's a game of inches. Literally, it's a game of small decisions that you make. Because we are constantly making those decisions. And so my challenge to us is that what is the passion that is driving you to make those decisions? What is that all-consuming purpose in your heart? Where even if you were to die this afternoon, that you would be able to say in your heart that it is well within my soul because you are aiming to live for the glory of Jesus. Because that's what it's all about. Because that's what the Christian life is all about. And I want to encourage us to go back to the basics of what we know. That Jesus came to save us because he loved us, but more than that, because he wanted to show us the glory of the Father. And I want your hearts to be so impacted. Because the glory of God isn't just this force that comes and gently slaps your cheek and you're like, oh, I felt something, but I don't know what it is. No, the glory of God is like this Mack truck that once you get hit, that's it. It's game over. It's TKO. You're not going to get up from that punch. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of God that I want to worship. That's the kind of God that I want to come before every Sunday to say, God, you are worthy of my life because I only have one life to live. And I'm not willing to give this life to anyone else except the one that is the most deserving. And that is not myself, but that is God. And so I want to inspire you to worship something that is greater than what you can possibly dream. So that you would be willing to say, God, I give you my life. That's what Jesus saw in God the Father. And that's why he was willing to go to the cross. Yes, it's because he loved us, but it's because he was hit by the glory of God. It was more than his dreams. But it's this God who is so incredible. It's this God who is so good. And I want you to come to worship this God that is so good, that is so powerful, that came to save you from your sin, and that came to save you from yourself. So glorify Jesus. Glorify Jesus. Let's pray together.